sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. But for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by Christ's authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Scripture readings for this, the fourth Sunday of Easter. The first reading from the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them. And they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power? Or by what name did you do this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all of the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The epistle from 1 John, the third chapter. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him, for whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he's commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given to us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you,
Lord. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. My own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Together we confess the Holy Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed found on the inside back cover of the hymnal. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you.
Grace and peace be yours from God the Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends in our Lord Jesus Christ, today we turn our attention to the gospel account for the day. Some of you know that there are some words of Scripture that are called the hard sayings of Jesus. Hard sayings, I suppose, because as we first look at these sayings, they challenge us. They're difficult. We don't see how we square them with other things of Scripture that Jesus or his apostles or prophets might have said or written. Then again, sometimes hard sayings of Jesus might be called hard sayings of Jesus because of the way they have been so mishandled and so misinterpreted through the years that when we come at that saying, we come at it having to sift through all of the accumulation through the years that make it hard to understand. Well, the text before us today, I submit to you, about Jesus the Good Shepherd, a hard saying it is not. The text on the Good Shepherd is rather one of the most beloved, one of the dearest, warmest, most comforting texts I think that we know. Of the image of the Good Shepherd, Christ, holding a lamb on his shoulders, of this image of the Good Shepherd itself, William Weinrich has said this: the figure of the Good Shepherd is one of the most beloved figures in Christian piety and iconography. The image of the Good Shepherd bearing upon his shoulders a lamb, that image found in Luke, not in John, that image of the Good Shepherd bearing upon his shoulders a lamb has been, from the beginning of the church's history, the image that most successfully depicts, he says, the love and beneficent care of God for his people. He goes on to say, for good reason, John Chrysostom, an ancient church father, for good reason, Chrysostom makes the simple claim, when he is caring for us, he calls himself a shepherd. Today, my friends, we relish the figure of Christ the Good Shepherd. And today, through attention to Jesus' words recorded in John, we learn anew why he calls himself and why we call him the Good Shepherd. I want to focus firstly on the shepherd himself. I note to you, first of all, that Jesus is that shepherd. Might seem quite obvious to you in the words that he uses, but let's back up for a moment and let's remember and consider that this image of a shepherd caring for his sheep is an image that was used widely in the Old Testament of God caring for his people. We find it, of course, in the beloved 23rd Psalm that we sang and heard beautifully sung today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and so forth. But that image is used in other places by other writers. That was David. How about Isaiah? He will tend his flock like a shepherd, says Isaiah. He will gather the lambs in his arms, so says Isaiah. Or it says in Micah as well, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from ancient days. And he goes on to say, in this one, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. think it was rather apparent in that text that it seems was by David, the 23rd Psalm, or Isaiah's writing, or that of Micah, but consider this as well from Ezekiel. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all of the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them, he says, with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land, and there they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. All over the place in the Old Testament, God's care for his people is depicted as a shepherd's care for sheep. And then comes Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I am the good shepherd. I am that one that has been so talked about, that has been so discussed, that has been so trusted in and relied upon. I am that one. God in the flesh, Jesus of Nazareth, I am the good shepherd. Peter says in the text you heard for the day, that from Acts, and there is salvation in no one else than in Jesus, than in this, the good shepherd. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus identifies himself as the shepherd. He is this shepherd. But he also identifies himself as the good shepherd. He uses a word here for good that's not necessarily the customary Greek word for good. That commonly is agathos, or in the feminine, Agatha, like the name, I suppose, Agatha. That's not the word he uses here. He uses a word, kalos. And the word kalos most certainly means good, but it means good in the sense of this, with respect to whatever you're talking about. So, what's a good cook? What makes for a good cook? Well, you fill in the blank. Maybe you are a good cook. What makes for a good student? What makes for a good mother? What makes for a good shepherd? I am the good shepherd. What makes for the good shepherd? Well, much makes, I think, for a good shepherd. Indeed, here, the good shepherd. The Lord Jesus directs our attention rather specifically or particularly, at least for the moment. I lay down my life for the sheep. And then what he does almost immediately is he sets up an antithesis. An antithesis is something that is in direct opposition to what you're going to describe or talk about. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But a hireling, and he sets up the antithesis of the hireling. The hireling is not the shepherd. Hence the name. The hireling does not own the sheep. They're not his. He does not, I suppose, know them by name. I don't even know that he has a vested interest in them. They're not his own. A hireling will see the wolf, he'll see the danger, he'll see the threat coming, and he abandons the sheep. He flees. The hireling will see the devil coming and threats and dangers to the sheep of the shepherd. He flees. He abandons the sheep. Those are words of a coward in this sense, are they not? Abandons, flees. Why does he do it? He does it because he's a hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep. His interest is in himself. The hireling will sacrifice the sheep in his own interest, in its own interest. Beware, sheep. Beware of the hireling. Beware of the hireling. I suppose a hireling can be a person. It can be a person. I suppose it might even be an institution. A person or institution which cares nothing for the people of God and really is in it for himself or for itself. Building itself up, propping itself up. What am I getting from it as a person, as an institution? But the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. As one has put it, and it's true, first Jesus states who he is, and then he states what he does. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And I think that we should pause for just a moment and consider that, because that is an astounding statement. What kind of shepherd dies for sheep? They're just sheep. You might even say he's got 99 more of them. But yet the shepherd, as we sing in that Lenten hymn, the shepherd dies for sheep. Like you and me, sheep who loved to wander. For you and for me, the shepherd dies. The shepherd dies for sheep who loved to wander. Note how St. Peter puts it in his epistle, his first epistle. He says, he himself, Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, that he might lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. By his wounds, Peter said, you have been healed, for you were sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Not in his interest, in your interest, and in mine. Jesus laid down his life so that you may have life and have it to the full. And that's why he's called the Good Shepherd. Now, we can broaden that, I think, too. We can take a step back and apply that as well, more broadly. And here I go back to the statement by John Chrysostom. I think it's a good statement. When he's caring for us, he calls himself a shepherd. Think of all of the many, the various and manifold ways that our shepherd cares for us, his sheep. Begin to think of them, how he leads us, how he feeds us spiritually, but also bodily and materially, how he clothes us, how he protects us and directs us, and we could go on. When he's caring for us, he calls himself a shepherd. And so By Jesus' example, so his pastors too are to care for sheep. St. Peter says in that same epistle, he says to those who are pastors, just like he, Peter, is, he says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain." Don't be a hireling, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. "Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." We've spoken of Christ, the Good Shepherd. Let's finally then mention his sheep. The Good Shepherd knows his own, and they know him. And oh, how he knows his own. He knows you. He knows me. All of those who are his sheep, that is, who believe in him, who hear his voice, who listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, he knows you. And he knows me. Take a look, if you will. Some of you, most of you probably have the bulletin cover, the service folder cover for the day. Take a look at it, if you will, for a moment. The one that's got the graphic on the front of the shepherd and his sheep. Take a look at all of those sheep there. Down there at his feet. They're not all the same. Which one are you? You see the one about three heads back? Looks like a young one. His head's popping up, just popping up. Maybe he's just cutting his teeth. Maybe he's just getting going in the world. But as he does, he faces trying to find his way in the world. He knows to which shepherd he belongs, but there are so many pressures out there as well. Or look a little bit closer to us here. That one most there up front whose face you can see. He looks like he's a bit older. He looks like he's lived life for a while. Maybe that's why his head is down. You look at the one over to the Lord's right. That one looks like he might be a bit careworn from concern, maybe even worry. Worry over the finances or worry over health, be it mental or physical. Worry over the state of affairs of things in this world. You see the one way in the back, behind the title banner? You can barely see him. Maybe that's how you feel too. Unseen. Unseen by others. Unseen to the Lord. Which one are you? Maybe you're that one way up front and off to the left, whose face we can see only half of. Maybe you feel like you're hiding. Maybe there's the one half of you that feels like the public half of you, and then there's the other half that's just hiding. Which one are you? The Lord knows. He knows. But as a matter of fact, I do too. Because I know that you're the one on his shoulders. You're the one that he's bearing through this life on his strong and sure shoulders. He knows his own. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. That kind of intimacy with that. He knows you, and you know him. You know him. He's the one who called me and you. You say he's the one that has borne with me when it took some great patience to bear with me. He's the one who found me when I wandered. He's the one who's kept me through all these years. He's the one who was there when I needed him there. I know him, you say. He's the one whose voice I know and I love, whose voice I follow, and whose voice I trust. Martin Luther said, the very life of the sheep depends on hearing the shepherd's voice. You say, I know him. He's the one who laid down his life for me. And I have other sheep, Jesus said, that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. And so there will be one flock, one shepherd. Of whom was he speaking? I think here he was speaking to Jews of the fact that there are more than just Jews who believe in him, who are of this fold, this flock. There were thousands upon millions of Gentiles as well who would come to faith in him. All who trust in him, all who believe in him. And my friends, dear sheep of the fold, there are others still who are out there. And let's share the word of the great and good shepherd with them too. One flock, one church. This is no promise, as one has noted, that every denomination will exist forever, but the church will. One flock, one shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen. We join together now in singing our post-sermon hymn.
us now pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Remembering my name in our prayers this day, Michael Grunau, William Wharton, and Benoit Kai, members of this congregation who are homebound or otherwise unable to attend service. Also, Mim Balzer and Henry Newman, members of this congregation facing medical adversities. We also remember this day the candidates for calls and placements from Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, and Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, the two seminaries serving the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. For these and others, we now pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. That the Good Shepherd of Israel, who has sought out his sheep and gathered us with them into one flock, would keep us always in his fold and guard us from every wolf and snare, and that through his word, faithful under-shepherds would gather those who have wandered from the flock of God's people. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. That by an increase in the love of Christian brothers one to another, especially within our own homes, we may daily show our confidence in God by deed and truth, laying down our lives as Christ did first for us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. That as the Paschal Lamb has wrought peace between man and God, so he would grant the gift of good government, peace, and good days also to our citizens and between the nations of the world, and that we and all our neighbors may lead quiet lives in godly contentment. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. That, with our gratitude for raising up servants in his harvest field, both those men who are to continue their pastoral formation as vicars, those who are to serve as pastors, and women who would serve as deaconesses, the Lord of the harvest would bless and be with those candidates and their families who are to receive their calls into the ministry of their placements. This week, from both Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, and Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. That in thanksgiving for our risen Christ, the first fruits from the dead, who has secured forgiveness for our troubled consciences, he would also bless with temporal health those who suffer, especially Michael, William, Benoit, Mim, and Henry, and that he would grant us aid not only in this moment, but also true immortal health in the world to come. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. That our good shepherd would calm all fears in this valley of the shadow of death, through the holy table here prepared in the presence of our enemies. That he would give those who come to his supper this day true repentance and an increase of faith, and that in every tribulation or besetting sin, he would lead us to find comfort and strength in the overflowing mercy given to us in this sacrament. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. Lord God, out of your fatherly goodness you have remembered us poor, miserable sinners, and given your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that even as the shepherd knows us and helps us in every affliction, we also may know him, trust him, seek help and comfort in him, heartily obey his voice, and obtain eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sin of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And
Thank you.
O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.